It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And auxiliary co-host, David Redfield is
Hello!
Here.
Hello!
Dave's here and he's excited.
I'm excited. Let's go talk about some stuff.
There's a lot of stuff going on today. This week, you guys had a huge day yesterday, but we'll get into that later. The big thing is that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came out. We all saw it. Dave, you saw it yesterday.
I have questions immediately. Right now, I have questions.
Go ahead.
Is it called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes or Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No, Rise of the Planet of the Apes was the last one with James Franco. This one is Dawn of the Planet of the
Apes.
Now,
in the original Planet of the Apes, how many sequels spun out of that?
There were five original Planet of the Apes movies.
A TV series, too,
then
right?
The TV series, and an animated series.
Wow.
Then there was nothing, then the Tim Burton movie.
What? Uh-huh.
And now this is the second movie in this reboot.
So there have been eight
Planet of the Apes movies and a TV series.
All right. Ignoring the television stuff, because fuck that.
And it only lasted one season.
Someone said the television stuff is pretty great.
I saw probably...
The television series is literally Starsky and Hutch on the Planet of the Apes.
Wait. Are they apes or are they humans?
Starsky and Hutch were humans. They were the two humans. Yeah. They look exactly like Starsky and Hutch, and they talk to Roddy McDowell every week.
All right. In the first Planet of the Apes, it's the classic. All right. Well, so we all know what happens in that movie.
Classic Charlton Heston.
Second Planet of the Apes... No Charlton Heston.
That's that crazy one. I lent it to you. So you have that's the one with James Franciscus where Charlton Heston's in the beginning and the end, and then there's the mutants who were worshiping the nuclear missile.
What? All right.
I lent that to you.
What was the title?
Okay,
I
remember that one. Now, what was the third Planet of the Apes?
The third Planet of the Apes. I always forget what the names are.
It doesn't matter what
we should
called.
Look it up.
If we had IMDb, that would be amazing.
We do, and you know, we were given a laptop for this freaking show.
Dave's going to look it up on the laptop. What happens in the third one?
Zira and Cornelius find the Taylor spaceship and go back in time to the 70s.
Whoa, wait.
On Earth,
and then they have a baby, and that baby is Caesar. And then in the fourth movie...
Oh, shit! Spoilers.
I'm spoiling the shit out of it.
The
40-year-old... I don't know if I will try not to spoil Dawn of Planet of the Apes for anyone that hasn't seen it, but I will spoil the shit out of the movies in the 70s.
All right.
The fourth movie, Caesar is grown up, and he's also played by Roddy McDowell, and Ricardo Montalban owns him. And it's a futuristic society where apes are kind of smarter, but not smart, so they're being used as slave laborers.
Okay.
And then Caesar gets all the apes to revolt, kind of like Rise, but less realistic. And then the fifth one, they're creating like they're creating the society, the Planet of the Apes, and the chimpanzees and the orangutans fight the gorillas.
Okay.
And that one's super cheap. It's a real low-budget movie.
All right.
What year was all this?
This all took place in the 60s and 70s?
Yeah, from the late 60s to the early 70s.
1968, apparently.
Yep,
February
is the 8th? First one.
All right. Then, the Tim Burton one was a reboot?
Yeah, the Tim Burton one is a reboot in 2001. He basically remakes the 1968 one with Mark Wahlberg as Charlton Heston.
Okay.
Because Mark Wahlberg plays an astronaut that lands on the Planet of the Apes.
All right, so that one I kind of saw. All right, then I must have missed, out of the original four, I missed two of them. I've only seen the first two.
Well,
then.
I think the first one is Planet of the Apes, obviously. Then there's Beneath the Planet
Beneath
of the Apes.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes is the one where they worship the bombs,
right? That one was really crazy.
That one's crazy.
Yeah, because it was underground.
I bought that at Half Price Books for like $6, and then I lent it to you to watch, and I know you watched it.
Yes, and that came out in 1970, so 2 years after the original.
Right.
And then we had Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
That's the one where they go back in time.
And that's in 1971. And then apparently in 72, they had Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
That's the one with Caesar.
I didn't see that one either. All right, now I have questions.
And then a year after that, hold on.
They came
out
faster.
Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Battle for the Planet of the Apes is the one where they fight the gorillas.
So it's like a year, like every year.
Yeah, so they're speeding up. And also, if you watch them, the budget is getting slashed. So like Planet of the Apes, that first Planet of the Apes is a big movie. Yeah, but it's also like they have less and less sets every time. And like that last one is like, it looks like Toxic Avenger.
And then, because I think the year later, we had the TV show Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
And then in 75 was Return to the Planet of the Apes, the cartoon show.
That's a cartoon, which I think was Filmation. So it was around the same time they did that Star Trek animated series. So
they're doing anything.
Filmation was taking all these sci-fi franchises that were ending and bringing them back as animated series.
Questions, wow. Several.
Question for the Planet of the Apes? That hasn't been made yet.
Here we go. The Caesar is born in the third or fourth Planet of the Apes movie?
Yeah, and it's kind of like a time loop because he's born to Cornelius and Zira.
I don't know who those are. Those are the other two.
Those are the two apes and help, Kim Hunter in the first movie.
I won't know
actors. They help
the
humans.
Sure.
They help
the good apes. Yeah. All
right, so they give birth to Caesar.
Yeah, then so the Caesar smart apes give up. Birth to a smart right. ape. And then but the smart ape grows
so
up
that
to like...
ape grows up in the third and fourth movie and he's a character. How then is the James Franco movies in continuity with these ones?
Well, that's what I was just talking about. I was just talking about this before the show is... The thing I like about these two movies is that they still, at the end of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, they still completely link up with that 1968 original Charlton Heston. And there's even an Easter egg in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which, Dave, you have not seen.
I have not seen.
Where they say, like, James Franco and John Lithgow are like, with the ape in their kitchen, and the TV's on, and they say there's been a spaceship lost. So you imagine,
awesome.
Oh, that's Taylor. So Taylor leaves before any of the apes become super intelligent.
So he has no idea what's coming.
So that first movie still works. He could still land there. He can still believe that it was nuclear war that wiped it out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it wasn't. And everything about that works. What it doesn't work with is these later sequels, which I don't think are that good, and I'm fine with that.
So you think these new two movies are disregarding those sequels and just going off the first movie?
Yeah. Yeah, in a way, kind of like... kind of like X-Men does. They're playing fast and loose with the retcon because really that first movie's a classic. Planet of the Apes as a franchise is a lot like Alien or Nightmare on Elm Street where every single movie kind of ends the franchise.
Yeah.
So none of them have a cliffhanger. None of them lead to the next movie. It's just at the beginning of every movie, they got to figure out a way to bring it back. The end of the second one of Beneath the Planet of the Apes, they blow up the Earth.
Yeah.
The end of the second one?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're worshiping this nuclear bomb and it goes off.
And it blows up the Earth? Kills everybody. And that's why the third one is like, oh, it's these apes in our day because they escape before the planet
they get in
that
like
play,
a space shuttle or something?
Yeah, they're in the original space shuttle Taylor's in.
You know what they got to do? They got to do like something Assembly in one Avengers. Of these movies where they blow up the Statue of Liberty. Because doesn't he say like, you blew it up, you damn
yeah, but
dirty.
That's fine because he could be wrong. The Statue of Liberty could just be buried under thousands of years of sand.
Oh, I guess
it's not blown up. It's still in the same shape. It's just coming out.
And how many years?
And Taylor is so angry, which is one of the reasons I like that original movie. Is Charlton Heston is a fucking asshole in that movie.
He's not a likable guy. He
spends the first half an hour torturing the other astronauts.
He's a dick, yeah.
Where he's like, they built a statue to it, and now it's rotted and covered with mold. Because everyone
years?
You liked is dead. And they're
how
like,
many
well,
years
Taylor,
after?
You didn't like anybody. He's like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
How many years after they take off, the Taylor and them, do they, is the Planet of the Apes take off?
Oh, it's at least 1,000. They're in like the year 3,000. Because they look at the time, like kind of the flux capacitor or whatever they have in their spaceship. As they're getting out of the spaceship, they see what year it is, and it's like 3070.
That's
so it's
crazy.
Been like 1,000 years of apes.
Okay.
Now, what they go through like a wormhole, don't they? Or
no,
something?
They don't. They go through suspended animation. In the first film.
Well, that's right, because one of them broke, and the astronaut
died. Yeah, there was a female astronaut, her two broke, kind of like an alien, and she dies.
Where does their ship go in space, though?
I think they were, like, going... I think they were, like, on a deep space exploration.
Then how did they get to
I forget
space
exactly
back to
where they're going. Because they were suspended animation the whole time. It just made a giant orbit. Over 1,000 years.
It's crazy.
That's a major road trip.
Yeah, so these new movies... contradict a lot of what happens in the third and fourth and fifth movies, but I don't like those movies as much, so I'm fine with it. So it's
and I haven't seen them, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah, there you go. And it's kind of a soft reboot. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not even as hard a reboot as like Batman Begins was. It's more like Casino Royale, where it's like if you want to believe that in between, like Quantum of Solace and Skyfall that Goldfinger happens and that Dr. No happens and Moonraker happens, you can believe that. Like, they don't do anything. In fact, even in Skyfall, they show, like, the Aston Martin. They do little nods to it.
Yeah.
So It's like that, where they don't contradict the big things. They don't tell you that the movies you love didn't happen.
Right. They just don't go out of their way to include it.
They don't go out of their way to include it.
What about Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes? Where does that fall?
That's completely forgotten.
Really?
Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes is the Batman and Robin of Planet of the Apes.
It's like, because he said it was like a reboot.
Uh-huh.
And it just didn't do it physically.
That one, yeah, that one, the biggest differences were like the makeup effects. And it was a jungle world instead of a desert world.
Uh-huh.
And the reason it was a desert world in the original movie was budget.
Deserts are cheap.
Yeah, they had spent all their money on the masks. And they were like, oh, we can't afford to build a jungle city.
Yeah.
So they didn't do it. Which is I think is hilarious. There's a weirdness about like gorillas living in the desert. I'm like, gorillas don't live in desert. They're covered in hair.
I thought it was something interesting because it was just like, oh, well, like the planet just like gets like turns into a desert because of global warming. And then like the apes take over.
It'd be a planet of the reptiles if that really happened. They'd be like, oh, there'd be all
Well,
the
they're wearing
people.
Clothes. Maybe they're like all shaven underneath.
Which means they're even hotter. They're covered with fur and they're wearing leather. They're all wearing leather. That's all they wear on the planet.
Maybe they evolved where they can handle the heat.
Or it could just be a cold desert, you know?
Well, at night.
Maybe all the time.
There's not a lot of night scenes
Maybe
in
the global
Apes.
Temperature.
It has been 1,000 years. We're not sure where. Where's Neil?
That's true. Charlton Heston does not wear a lot of clothes in that movie either.
I don't think he wanted to wear a lot of clothes. I think he was like, I look awesome.
I think he didn't want to wear any ape-made clothing. He was just
you
like,
damn dirty ape clothing.
Damn dirty ape tailors.
They had like FUBU version of Planet of the Apes clothing line back then.
So the new movie,
we all saw, Dawn, really right? Digged.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it at all. In fact, Steven and I went to see it together on Friday night, and we left the theater and said, let's talk about it Sunday. I don't even know if you liked it.
So you hated it, huh, Steven?
I did like it.
I loved it.
I don't know, I didn't think it was like super phenomenal. I thought it was good. I think it's worth seeing. I'm not a huge like Planet of the Apes fan, I guess if you'll say. I like the Heston one. James Franco one was good. This one was good. They're not phenomenal, but they're good. They're worth the $10.
Yeah, I like those films. I really love that first film. The key to that first film for me was when I was in college, I realized Rod Serling wrote the screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at it through that lens, it is the longest, most expensive Twilight Zone episode ever produced.
Uh-huh.
Because it even has that twist ending, but it also has all the Rod Serling foibles of like his very heavy-handed way of social commentary.
So what happens in this movie? It starts off, what, 10 years after
Dawn.
The first one?
10 years after the first one. So James Franco's not in it at all. There's like...
Does he die in Rise?
No. No, he...
Turn into
it
the goblin?
Ends,
well, like, Rise leaves you off. The ape runs into the jungle with all the San Diego Zoo gorillas and
Who
marsupials.
Is that? Caesar?
Okay. Yeah, Caesar.
And then
he talks, right?
They go into, like, the California woodlands, and they kind of just build their community. That's how that
And
first
that,
one
that
ends.
And they just don't see each other
do
again.
Do they do the virus in that movie, or is the virus only
well,
in the second
doesn't
one?
Doesn't the kid from Harry Potter die? That's the only thing I remember.
Who's
is,
the
like,
kid from Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah, don't they just
the blonde-haired guy?
Don't they just beat him up?
Oh, I don't know.
I think the apes beat him up.
I don't remember a kid from
but
Harry
Potter. But someone died. Someone said...
As one of the kids that works in the holding, that holding pen.
Oh, is he the jerk who like beats up the monkeys?
Who says, right. Get your hands off me, you.
And Brian Cox, who I always love.
I don't know who that is.
Brian Cox was a striker in X-Men 2.
Oh, he's
he ran the thing. I love Brian Cox mostly from Rushmore. Have you ever seen Rushmore?
Oh, who hasn't seen Rushmore?
This guy.
You've never seen Rushmore?
Nope.
Do you know what it is?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Oh, I've heard those
That's
words.
Not from Rushmore.
It's not?
No.
Oh, Rushmore. Bill Murray. I'm thinking Rush Hour.
No, Rush Hour is completely different.
Have you seen Rush Hour?
It's a great movie.
It is a good movie.
Rush Hour 1 and 2 are phenomenal. Yep. Dude, they should make another Rush Hour movie because Chris Tucker's not doing anything and I'm sure Jackie Chan could use a paycheck.
Yeah, is Jackie Chan...
He's
young
alive.
Enough to still kick
he
stuff.
Doesn't need to be. I think it should be funny that they're like old and they can't do all this shit anymore.
Yeah.
Like Indiana Jones.
And they could be like, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah. But Rushmore.
And like Chris Tucker could be like 3 days away from retirement.
Yeah, there you go.
That's Lethal Weapon.
Sounds like a great movie.
We should make another Lethal Weapon movie.
Are they making another one?
No, they are now.
Wait, are they?
No.
You can't tease my soul like that. Every Lethal Weapon movie is phenomenal. Every single one. If you say differently, you're a communist.
I feel like there's no reason for me to talk about Rushmore now.
Well, anyway.
Back to Planet of the Apes.
Okay, but Brian Cox was Rushmore.
I have a question.
Yes.
But they did show that someone died from the virus, right? Because I asked that
Most
question.
Most of the population of Earth died.
In Rise, though. They did, right?
Well, in Rise, the whole thing is James Franco is trying to develop a vaccine for Alzheimer's for his father. And his father's played by John Lithgow. And his... then he then they're testing on monkeys, and then they pull the funding, and he steals Caesar and brings him home, partially because he's bonded with him, but also partially to keep testing the drug. And then it starts to work, and John Lithgow like remembers everything. But then there's a scene later in the film. The drug stops working. He slips back into Alzheimer's, uh-huh. and then he does die in the movie. But they don't say explicitly that the drug killed him.
Well, in this new movie, they say there was a patient zero, and they said they tracked it right to somebody who would. Well,
the thing is,
not like John Lithgow.
And
that's what I'm saying. Do they say that in the movie? I can't remember.
Well, no, they're not explicit about how James Franco dies. You just know he's gone. When they go to the house has been abandoned for years.
You don't know that he died. He might just be in the,
Green Goblin. Anyway, in the beginning.
I want to see James Franco come back in the third with like gray hair, and he's like, Caesar, what's going on?
And he's just high all the time?
All you ate. Well, that's just James Franco and everything. He's like, you're always taking pictures of Spider-Man.
But in the beginning.
I'm hosting the Oscars.
Because in the beginning of Dawn of the Apes, they do that whole entire news broadcast where it's just like, oh, one out of 500 people are immune to the virus. And then you see how it spreads throughout everything.
And that got me. That got me. I'm now old enough and I have kids long enough where they show one sick kid in a bed and I'm just like, oh, this is going to be so bad. And that was enough to get me.
Yeah. And then,
but they show like all the lights on the planet Earth just start going out.
Yeah. Because there's no city. And that's what happens in the beginning. Down the reason why the humans are even involved is they go over to the Monkey Island? Can we say Monkey Island?
Let's say Monkey Island.
Monkey Island. Sure. But it wasn't an island. I think it was just like.
They actually just all played the Lucasfilm PC game from the 90s, Return to Monkey Island.
But anyway, they go to the Monkey Island, and that's where they need to get the hydrogen.
The generator.
Generator running. Because they need the power. That's the big problem with the humans.
Well, it's not so much an island. It's just the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. But that's why they go, and then that's when Caesar's.
Is that Oakland?
No. I think Oakland's further north. I don't know. You know, my brother-in-law lives there, and we visited there, and I don't know. All I know is that there's a bunch of redwoods. It's like a redwood preserve right over the bridge. Because we did go there, and they shot Endor there in Return of the Jedi.
So they go over there.
Those trees are like crazy big.
And who's the kid that shoots one of the monkeys?
Oh, this guy. No. I got to talk about this guy. I was so mad in the theater. I was talking to Steven in the theater. Because this guy, it starts with like, there's a group finds out like the dam is in the forest, and they realize if they reconnect the dam, they can turn San Francisco back on. They can get the electricity back to San Francisco. So there's like a search group going through, and this guy runs into two of the apes, one of which is Blue Eyes, Caesar's son,
and
he's like
Rocket.
And he like freaks out, and he's like oh it's okay, and then he shoots one of the apes. And that incites the inciting incident because the apes know that the humans are there and that they're dangerous, and the humans know that the apes are still around. And then it's this very uneasy tension, which I loved. One of the things I really love about this movie was they do a great job for most of it of getting you to root for both the humans and the apes.
Yeah, you're never like, oh, the apes are the bad. It's not clear who the bad guys are.
Right.
And there's bad guys in both groups.
But it's more this situation, and you're in the movie going, man, I really hope these guys don't go to war. And you know they're going to go to war because it's the fucking Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, and they don't go to war. There's no movie.
And you know the humans lose because it's the Planet of the Apes. But they do a good job at that. But that character drove me crazy because he shoots an ape, and then they go back, and then they're like, then the apes come, and that scene's amazing, where the apes come to the city, and he's like, humans, stay! And I love the way they talk, too, because it feels like they're trying to push it out from their lungs.
Yeah.
They're not just like,
Taylor. It's not easy for them, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the original movie where they're talking through the big rubber lips. So everybody has that list of like, apes were born to rule, humans are terrible, these lips are made of rubber. They're like, they're really like pushing it out.
Because what I, what I enjoyed, well, the thing is like the guy that shoots him is an idiot, because even though they explained it, like they're like, how do you stand being near those apes all the time? They gave us that flu and killed everybody. I'm like, I don't know if you noticed this, but that virus came from science lab.
Yeah, and that's what Kerry Russell says to him.
And the whole entire world thinks it came from like monkeys.
But here's my question.
Well, isn't that how we think about AIDS? Like everyone's
that
like,
it comes from
somebody
monkey.
Fucked a monkey and then fucked a human. And what's that, like, Dave Chappelle joke where he's like, nobody fucks a monkey and then decides to fuck a human. If you fuck one monkey, you're now in the monkey fucking business. You know what I mean? It's just like, you're not going to go...
The world's your oyster!
Right.
There's so many monkeys!
It's like, hey, John, you want to go out tonight? Nah, man. I trained this monkey to fuck me with his monkey paws. It's just like, you'd never leave. You know what I mean?
There's no competition. It's just you.
Yeah, there's just one human fucking monkeys.
You know how long I had to teach this monkey to suck my dick instead of peeling it like a banana? You know,
are you doing this or is this the whole bit?
This is the whole Dave Chappelle bit. He went on for about it. So that's like, it's a bullshit. It's a bullshit, like, thing. We didn't fucking, we created AIDS in a lab or something.
This is one of my problems. I thought this movie was really smart, except they do a handful of incredibly stupid things. And one of the stupidest things they do is the guy who shoots the monkey, and then he's like, fuck those monkeys. They bring him back.
Yeah.
I tried to tell you this a bunch of times. They did. There is a line where they're like, we need, say his name's Ricky.
Carvel.
They're like, we need that guy to turn the degenerate. He's the only one that knows how to get the generator.
He's the only guy that works in the water department.
Right, which is stupid because
then he fucks up more and they push him out. And then they turn the dam on anyway.
Well, maybe what was dumb about
he
it.
He was probably explaining things to them. It was just all, let's just,
but like,
hey,
he didn't want to go back there.
Fish are singing underneath the ocean in Little Mermaid. Let's give this movie a little credibility. What was I going to say? That little tiny baby monkey was adorable.
Yes, he was.
Caesar's little baby.
He was a very cute baby. And the CG in this was really good.
Did they do, they must have done this, like motion capture, right?
For all they're all motion capture. They're all CG. Believe, there's like, no suits. There's no animatronics.
It's all.
There's no real monkey shots.
It's crazy.
All of those apes were CG the entire film. Yeah. And they were in the last film.
And like for me, when I was watching it, I was kind of like, fuck, I am very interested in this monkey story, or ape story, as they like to be called. I could care less about the human story at that point. I'm like, oh shit, can we go back to the apes running around, Caesar punching people in the face? Like, I want to see more of this.
You know, they show Commissioner Gordon, like, pretty predominantly
Gary Oldman's
film.
Gary Oldman's really good.
That's what happens. Barely in it. That's what happens to Commissioner Gordon when there is no Batman.
But
he goes rogue.
I would say he's in this for a half an hour, but everything he does is pretty critical.
I guess. It just seemed like the Bryan Cranston in Godzilla, where it's like, they show him in all the trailers, and he's doing all stuff, that's like, he ain't even the main fucking guy. It's this other guy, the scientist, or whoever this guy was.
Yeah,
was
I don't like, know. Guy I don't recognize from anything.
He's in a bunch of movies.
But I don't even remember seeing him
in
the trailer.
His wife is Felicity. I know that. Who's in The Americans now?
I'm just
Jason saying. Clark, he played the role of Malcolm in Dawn of the Apes.
Malcolm, there you go.
Yes, well, what else did he do?
Oh, what's it called? He was in, what was that movie, Shia LaBeouf, and where they were all moonshiners?
I have no idea what
I'll tell
about.
You. Okay, so he's in Zero Dark 30. He's in The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
Lawless. Okay. Public Enemy.
Okay.
Dawn of the Apes.
Okay.
The Better Angels. Okay. White House. Uh-huh. Once again in the Great Gatsby. Uh-huh. And
he was in The Great Gatsby twice.
He was.
Did he play the same character?
No, he walked he walked out the door and came in as somebody else.
In 2011,
mustache.
He was in The Texas Killing Fields.
Okay.
Chicago Cold. Oh, he's the main cop in the Chicago Cold. How do we not recognize him? He's
because
Australian.
I've never heard of that movie.
No, it's a TV show.
I tell you, as you read all this, I go, the one thing that made any sense to me was Dawn of Planet of the Apes.
What about Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps?
No.
You never saw
that? Shia LaBeouf in it.
What about The Human Contract?
No.
You never saw Death Race?
No.
Hole in the Paper Sky?
No.
Under Still Waters?
No.
Brotherhood?
No. I'm no longer listening to these titles.
I don't know.
I'm just saying no because this is like the cheese sketch in Monty Python.
He's a great actor. That's all I got to say.
Great actor. He's in one thing you've
but
seen.
But I reckon.
Chicago Cold? Great Gatsby?
You gotta be the only one watching that show. I live in Chicago.
Zero Dark 30?
Why would you? Here's another thing about Chicago Code. You know, why would you, like, is it accurate? Like, are the police in that show beating minorities?
No, they're
not.
Like, that's why
chasing
it's not
people
accurate.
Off the beaches at 1101?
This is the most violent city in the country. Did they not do that on the show?
That's what I'm saying. Is like the show representational of like the crazy violent shit happening in the city, or is it just like another police drama like every other fucking police drama? You're going to do a show about Chicago police, you have to admit they're bad guys. End of discussion.
Well, it's like Chicago Fire, which I think it's just cheap to shoot here right now. So it's like, hey, we got a cop show, we got a fire department show, we'll just do it there. You know, Breaking Bad was supposed to take place in California. And then it was like, oh, New Mexico's cheap.
Yeah.
Which made total sense because the desert totally worked on that show.
That's true.
In Dawn of the Apes, I wanted to ask a question. Where did they get all that military stuff? Because Gary Oldman also
had
tons.
He said there was like a they went to an armory.
Yeah.
What do they call National Guard?
Yeah, well, they said they got a lot from FEMA, and it's been like if you think about this in terms of like a zombie apocalypse movie, which the humans are kind of in that mode, except the interesting thing was when the apes attack, I was thinking, oh, this is like The Walking Dead, except with The Walking Dead, the zombies just come right at you. They have no strategy. They don't react to anything.
Yeah.
This is actually way harder because the apes are figuring out how to use guns, and they can climb, and they're climbing up the poles to get to the top of them.
Yeah, and this, they're like physical and mental superior to us because they're smarter than us, stronger than us, more agile. They can climb on shit. They don't wear clothes. Like, they can survive in the woods naked, all that kind of shit.
I'm a big fan that surviving in the woods naked is a huge advantage.
Well, I think that's an enormous advantage. I saw those people with their tents and all that shit, and the apes just ran up on them. Balls hanging all over the place.
One of the guys says that, too. He's like, you know why we're weak? He's like, these guys just stay here. They just live out here.
He goes, they don't need electricity. I'm like, fuck, there's tons of like tribes in Africa and like third world countries. They don't have electricity. They're doing okay.
You could tell the people in San Francisco did not want to go back to tribal living. Yeah. They were hanging on to that library.
What about the pioneers? Like, you don't see any electricity during the Wild Wild West days.
That's the whole thing about these people. They've been living for 10 years without electricity.
They're all like,
we're not giving up
electricity. I feel like all the people are like, I can't update my Facebook status. This is hell. And then that's when they start rioting.
I feel like that would happen if that would happen. I think electricity is one of those things that now we have it, we are not going to give it up.
My biggest problem with this movie...
This is why we're dependent on oil.
My biggest problem in this movie is you had those two guys testing out all the ammunition and checking all the guns to see if they're working.
You fire the gun once. Yeah. You have to waste
they go
hundreds
through,
of rounds.
They go through all these clips.
They sit around a lot drinking whiskey and firing
that
guns.
That is true.
So I think everybody's just leaving them alone and they have enough guns and bullets. They're like, hey, let's shoot these guns some more. And one of those guys is definitely one of the guys from Breaking Bad. And that was like one of Uncle Joe's.
Here's the other thing too. All right, they're sitting around drinking. They're clearly like the only redneck guys who know how to use guns. So they're like, they're pretty much assholes. And the one monkey's like, kind of like hanging out and like sneaking around, and he acts like he's like
that
a regular
was
monkey.
Great.
What was
that
remember
was
the
great part?
Kapow, or what was that monkey's name?
The evil
Koba.
Monkey.
Koba.
Koba.
Well, my problem with that was like Koba, whatever, is trying to be like innocent looking or whatever, but it's like they're not on like a shortage of bullets, so like why not just shoot that monkey?
That's what I was thinking.
It's because Gary Oldman was there, so they all know the situation. They know there's hundreds of apes looking for a reason to kill them all, so none of the humans really want to kill the apes because everybody knows the war is going to start.
I would
so even those two guys know that war, know that if they kill the ape, that the other apes are going to come down on.
My problem with that is the fact that, like, it's just two guys and all of the ammo that this whole entire city has. So I feel like it's, like, two guys in charge of it. I would have figured,
not
like...
That's true. They show them there's, like, 20 guys there. It's just these two guys are in the abandoned
but
warehouse
But when these two guys die and the monkey starts stealing stuff, it's like there wasn't another guy going, like, hey, you guys hear something?
No, because to
Let's
your own
keep
point,
moving.
These guys have been shooting guns all
you know what
day
I think?
Long. Two more gunshots is not going to alert anybody.
You know
what I think?
Other people, the gunshots stop it.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. You know when they're going to be alerted? When those guys don't show up tomorrow.
You know who those guys, two guys are? Those two guys are the same two stormtroopers you see in the Star Wars movie that are always like, which way did they go? They went this way. All right. They're the ones that let the, like when they go like, these aren't the droids you're looking for, it's like, they're not here.
Same guys.
Yeah. Same guys. That's what they
have.
No, we
know they're stupid. They're set up to be stupid.
All I'm saying is there should have been more people just always checking the perimeter for the ammo. Because one of the fucking monkeys, like when, what's Koba?
Koba.
Koba. When Koba sees the rocket launcher, I'm like, how does no one notice that there's an ape checking out a rocket launcher?
But they
right
did.
Now?
Then he turned around and there
were the two redneck guys. It should have been like other guys doing it.
Yeah.
Don't put redneck guys on guard details, the moral of the story.
I was fine with that. I had a much bigger problem toward the third act. I have much bigger problems.
So the first act, you establish everything. The monkeys
first
are
act, you establish both societies. You bring them together with the inciting incident, and then they're trying to make peace. They're trying to avoid war.
Because the monkeys, the apes helped get the dam running.
The apes helped to get the dam running, and then we see... Even like Gary Oldman's character and Koba's character, you see why they don't trust the other ones, and you're like, I can understand that.
Yeah,
you know, and
that was a great, that
well,
wait, was a great thing,
and that was
Koba
good for the most part. Koba's
trusting
like
the humans. Why didn't Gary Oldman trust?
He lost them? Everything. Like, remember?
Yeah, but so did the 80 other thousand people.
Well, I know. Gary Oldman was focused on getting the power turned on. He didn't hate the apes so much as like, we have to turn the power on.
Yeah.
And if the apes are going to stop us, the apes have to go.
Yeah.
And that was his whole philosophy. So it wasn't so much like, we got to kill these apes. It's like, if they can help us get the power on, fine. Because that's when the guy who's in Everything I Never Saw.
Malcolm?
He's like, yeah. He's like, give me 3 days. He's like, let me see if we can work with them. He's like, you got 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, although, if he really hated the apes, he'd be like, no. But it's what he was distrustful of the apes because they scared the hell out of him when they show up.
That was pretty creepy.
That was really, really strong. And then it's just like, we have to get the power turned on. And his whole thing was, we have to get the power turned on so we can get the broadcast transmitter running so we can find out if any other humans are alive.
See,
on the
I didn't feel like that point was brought out that strongly. See, it was like, these people right need power.
When before all the nonsense with the apes, it's been 10 years. So society crumbles in 10 years. We all know what society crumbling is going to look like. Roving bands of lunatics. Like, we've seen enough movies. All right. So Gary Oldman's in charge, and I don't know what he was before the apocalypse.
He was military. When you see pictures of him, he was, like, in the gear.
So he's military? So he's a guy that's, like, the leader of the people and however many people are in San Diego that are left. Don't you think they would have gotten, like, to that place with all those weapons and had brought them, like, to the city and arm their people in case, like, a roving band of crazy people came to take everything?
I think
that's bad planning, Gary Oldman.
No, I think they did, but I think the fact that it's 10 years, I think that they've already been through all of that. Like, because you're talking about is like Walking Dead, where the Walking Dead set about a year after the apocalypse.
You're saying because it's so far into the future,
it's so far
of the apocalypse.
Yeah, it's so far.
All the roving bands of lunatics are dead.
Yep. All the deaths has settled.
Yeah, all the deaths have settled. They took all the weapons and they blocked them up for safekeeping.
And they've rebuilt that section of the city for everyone to live in. And the big problem is all of the gas is running out for the generators.
Yeah.
So they already have power.
Okay.
So it's a matter. It's not The Walking Dead where, like, the shit just fell and how do we survive? They figured that out. This would be like if Rick had been in the prison for 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, he would stop worrying about the governor and he wouldn't think about the zombies so much. It would be
because
more
there's been so many years without incident.
Yeah, and it would be more about, hey, how do we
all
get
all right, I could see that.
And you know what, if Rick,
and you saw that mimicked with the apes when they were talking to Caesar, it's like, do you think about the humans? And there's just
and he says it's been 2 years since we've seen a human.
Yeah.
So they're probably all
thought
gone.
They're all dead.
Yeah.
Alright, so, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of infighting, so I imagine that the humans have figured that part out.
So, the movie ends, we're not going to give any spoilers. Do you think, like, the next...
Really?
Yeah, well, we can if you want.
We're kind of far into it, so I think we can do some spoilers.
Do you think the next movie is then, like... I mean, obviously, they're going to do a sequel. I heard this is doing really well at the theaters.
$71 million for the weekend.
That's good.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So do you think, like, the sequel will be, like, what, them having, like, the actual big war with
humans? I think so.
My guess is, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine who had been trying to get on the show for a year, but he won't come on. I think we'll do another jump, and I think as we saw, like, the apes had kind of built that little village on top of the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've seen how they've... Yeah, that gets burned down, but you see how far they progressed?
That was that scene, like, sorry to slow things down, but when Coppa, like, he just fucking turns on it and goes Scar,
Coppa's pretty much
he literally has a scar in the same place. Yeah.
But when Coppa, like, sets all that thing up, I'm like, that son of a bitch.
Yeah,
it's that damn dirty ape.
It's like, that part's like Animal Farm, where it's like, because like I said, I was siding with Gary Oldman, I was siding with Coppa, I was like, I hope you guys figure out a peaceful solution. And then when Coppa makes that turn, I don't know if I quite got that, because I feel like the script just kind of pushed him to be evil.
And you had to. It was like a long-running movie.
I know, and I know you needed that, but I felt like it was done because it was needed. I felt like he didn't quite have enough of a reason to try to kill Caesar. Like, you know, he accuses Caesar of liking humans more than apes, and then Caesar beats him up.
Yeah.
Which is how ape society works. But he seemed like, after that, he seemed to go back to the level where he was. He didn't seem to be push further.
Well, I feel like it was because he realized that he can't beat Caesar. Like, he's like, I can't beat Caesar, I gotta kill him.
He
had to do it in a way where it's like he had to play, you know, he had to be a bad guy because he can't do
he's
it.
He's the
fair
dick
and
version of the human guy. There's always the guy, and it's in all these
right,
movies.
And he
where
kills
like,
the dick human guy.
Right, well, that's awesome. What I'm saying.
That was
like,
good because that guy's fucking useless.
They do that thing where it's just like, it's like that same characters in like in all these big movies like that, where it's like they turn on him because it's like there is no good motivation. Like, it's always done like
right.
so cheaply, and now it's a thing where it's just like, hey, yeah, he'll be the bad guy and just turn him, give him a scar,
well,
to make him look
well
evil.
And that bothered me because I felt like everyone was so three-dimensional up until that point. We were an hour and a half in that it was just like, yeah, now Coppa's pure evil. And it's like, I see why they wanted to do it for the story, because he turns totally evil. He starts throwing apes.
Yeah, he was murdering over. Other apes.
Oh, that's that's after. Like,
he becomes a complete tyrant.
Well, that's when he gets, when he has the power, that's when he just completely goes crazy with it.
Yeah, and he goes in totally insane.
He goes ape shit.
Bravo, Dave.
Well, anyway. Bravo.
So the next movie will be about 10 years in the future.
I think so. And I think the apes will have like a city. And maybe there'll be a couple of humans left, or maybe we.
You think they really establish?
Or maybe we do that. Maybe we.
They really establish what?
Communication with that North base.
Yes.
Yeah.
They got a response, and they were saying, and he said, he was like, "You can't stay here." He was telling the apes to run at the end. Malcolm was like, "You can't stay here because we've made contact with the other bases, and military is coming down." And he said, "No, we started the war, and now the war is going to happen."
That's so crazy.
Yeah, but they
could have just wandered away.
And they said they broadcast. They're like, "We're under attack. Please come and help." So they were on their way. But well, that's the other thing. There's a few big incidents that could have been diffused. I have a real major problem with the third act when Malcolm comes back and Gary Oldman's like, "Hey, we're putting C4 under the tower where all the apes are. We're going to blow them all up." And if he had taken 1 minute, everybody's fairly calm in that room. If he had taken 1 minute to go, "Actually, there's an ape civil war going on up there. Let's give it a half an hour and let's see who survives. And if the apes are on our side, let's just leave them alone. And if the apes survive that are not on our side, let's blow it." But instead, he pulls a gun on all of them and he's like, "You don't understand. You don't understand. I won't explain." And it's just like, it's really easy to explain.
That shit happens in all the movies too.
The apes are fighting each other. And then Gary Oldman like, then Gary Oldman blows himself up. Spoilers. We're into spoilers. Gary Oldman's like, "I'm saving the universe."
Via Batman Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. He blows himself up, and it doesn't... Steve and I were arguing this. It's the only thing we talked about after the movie. He doesn't even blow up the tower. The tower just gets rocked around.
I think he says to Malcolm, he's like, "Hey, good, you're here. You can help us set up the C4. I think they had a lot more C4 to set up because Malcolm was like taping up stuff, like he was taping up plastic bombs.
But then blowing himself up didn't do anything. All it did was shake the tower up so that a lot of other apes died. Both the apes are hanging off of ledges.
To kill as many as you can because he thought Malcolm was going to shoot him.
Yeah, that I had a major,
it was just dumb because this happens
with.
In all the movies where it's like the guy's like, "Stop what you're doing." And if he would just say three sentences, he would totally take care of it. Here's three sentences. "I found the late ape leader. Guy's still alive. There's some shit you don't know that's going on. Like, let him resolve it and, like, we'll work together." It's
you
like,
know how
he
could
just take 10 seconds
just,
to fucking
just
explain
say,
the shit.
The apes are killing each other right now.
This is
we
how,
don't have to get involved.
This is how it could have been better. Malcolm could have been like, "You don't understand. Civil War. Caesar. What's the guy's name? Kapow?
Cobra.
You are never going to remember
Dave,
this.
Dave. Cobra without the R."
Holy shit.
That's how I did it the whole
Cobra.
Movie.
Cobra.
I kept thinking the Cobra Cabana.
So anyway, he could have been like, "You don't understand, Caesar, Cobra, blah, 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 blah." And then all of a sudden it's like, "If Caesar wins, we could go back to peace." And then someone else just shoots them and kills Malcolm. That would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been cool. Malcolm
just been like,
actually.
Boom, and then be like, "Fuck you, son."
Yeah, because Malcolm was, he wasn't even a military guy. Isn't he like an engineer or something?
Yeah, it was like an engineer.
So somebody could have just shot him.
Yeah, and then like they could have continued on their way.
Yeah,
so
most of those.
Yeah, but then there's no like heartwarming thing with like being like at the end when Caesar was like, "You're a good human." He's like, "You're a good ape." And they,
well,
like,
you know what?
Ways.
You would have still gotten that because what if Caesar's like returning back and he sees like Malcolm dead, and then like Caesar would have been like, "Oh my god,
we should have go to war."
James Franco's human. Other good person. It's just been like, he's dead.
But I would have liked it even because most of those Planet of the Apes movies are downers because they come from that late 60s, early 70s. Like, all those movies made in the Vietnam War, they're like, most of those movies are classics for like killing off the heroes at the end. Movies like Easy Rider, Night of the Living Dead, The Omega Man, you know, Last Man on Earth. A lot of the horror and sci-fi movies just end up with like, this world is terrible and if you stand up to it, it's going to kill you.
Jesus.
You know, Soylent Green.
Real like, uplifting shit.
Basically, everything Charlton Heston made that was a sci-fi movie ends with Charlton Heston getting killed.
You know, what did you think of that ending?
I liked it because it left the door open to say, we're heading for the original Planet of the Apes, but it was enough to tie it up where you're like, hey, where's part three?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was satisfying.
What
do you think?
Basically, what happens is, like, Caesar, like, all the apes just go to Caesar and, like, the Messiah has returned.
I didn't expect Caesar to live.
I didn't expect Caesar to live
either.
Like,
when they found him, and he didn't move. He didn't move. I'm like, yeah, Caesar's definitely dead.
Yeah, it was
kind of
goofy. They find this. All right, so the Caesar gets
shot
by Koba, and then he
didn't
falls
Felicity
off a cliff.
Felicity tell you that?
Right?
They find him on the bottom of the mountain.
So they find him at the bottom of the mountain, right?
It's a day later. It's morning.
Right, and it's morning time, and they walk up to this, like, what is a monkey corpse, and his, like, eyes are open like people do when they die, and they're, like, they don't blink. And you're like, oh, the monkey's dead. And they're, like, staring at it, like, a little too long. And then his eyes move. And I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, he was dead.
To be fair, he was shot through the shoulder. He wasn't shot through a vital organ.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he'd been lying in a riverbank.
12 hours in the cold after he fell down a mountain.
And all they do
is
put him on
You want to know why, Steven? Because they don't need electricity. That's why they
need medicine. We do learn that because Kerry Russell is the only person that understands penicillin. And that makes her...
Invaluable.
Do you think like Kerry Russell is like all the like the little like doctor apes are looking at Kerry Russell and she's like, it's called penicillin. I'll teach you how to make it. And they're like, oh shit,
Kerry Russell
gonna change everything.
Kerry Russell is like Dr. McCoy. Like, there's he's like when they beam down to a planet in Star Trek and they're like. And they're like, this man will die. He fell off rock. And McCoy's like, what the hell? And he like beams him with like a scanner. He's like, he's fine. Shut up. And then they're like, you are magic doctor man. He's like, fine. Join the Federation. What do I care? That's Kerry Russell.
So real quick. The coolest scene, I think, was there's a bear fighting scene.
Yeah. For my first thought of that, bear than the
Wolverine Origins. Yes. But like that was so cool is the fact that like they're hunting.
You know what that was,
deer?
Too? The what bear thing. And here's the thing about playing.
To show you which one was blue eyes?
Yes.
Anytime to give him scars. They give an ape a scar. I thought that was like the bad guy ape has a scar on his eye. All the important actors, apes, all have to have scars, except for Caesar, because he's the only one you're like supposed to recognize, because he's the first thing you see in the movie.
Well, that makes a ton of sense in a visual movie, especially when you're not doing the original where they have uniforms and they have different clothes.
Right.
This actually reminds me, I just finished Gotham Central today. Mm-hmm. I read the whole run. Great, great series, but the one problem I have with it is...
Identifying the detectives?
Yes, identifying the characters, because it's so down to earth, it's just... It's a lot of cops. They're all in. They're all plain clothes. A couple of uniforms. They all have basic cop haircuts.
You have the same problem with The Walking Dead. They have trouble because they're just regular people. It's
really
hard to
draw
them looking different.
Which reminds you why superheroes are in bright primary colors and have different silhouettes, because you're never going to mistake Peter Parker for Bruce Wayne.
Right.
And when the more you make a visual medium realistic, the more of the visual strength you lose. So in Planet of the Apes, where there are these big CG apes in a big sci-fi movie that don't have any distinguishing clothing. Yeah, you have to do that.
And all apes look alike.
Because you know what? There's one gorilla.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah. There's one gorilla who's you assume is the gorilla from Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And then he brings a bunch of other gorillas. And I'm like, I don't care who the other gorillas are.
Yeah.
You know?
I cared about Rocket.
Yeah.
Was the one with like that big like,
the orangutan.
What, the orangutan?
With a big white face. Cool. Who
seem to really enjoy art and Black Hole.
Well,
and
reading. I love they set him up. They kind of set him up to be the lawgiver in the originals, because all the rules and all the laws in the Planet of the Apes were created by this orangutan. They have big statues of him in all the original movies. And they're like, this was the lawgiver. He said, ape shall not kill ape. Don't go to the Forbidden Zone. Yep. And I'm like, oh, he's that character, because he's writing on a wall, ape shall not kill ape, and he's teaching.
Now, in the first one, the Forbidden Zone was where they had all those books and everything, right? Or like
the Forbidden Zone was where they the human artifacts were found.
Yeah.
And the ape government didn't want apes to know that humans were evolved, so they could keep using them as slaves.
Yes.
So, and they said...
Is Roswell our Forbidden Zone?
Yeah, and again, they said there was probably... when in that original film, when you assume it's nuclear war that wipes out the humans, you figure that's where the radiation was strongest.
Yeah.
But again, if we're assuming, like I am in my own personal fan fiction, that these movies are still prequels to the 1968, there's no nuclear war.
All right, so and there's no nuclear war... Then the apes take over the planet. So for it to line up with the original Planet of the Apes, where the humans are like wild things, they survive and then lose their culture?
No, I think that war that's coming on, that war that's happening, I think that's going to be like the big push for when human civilization starts falling and getting
captured. Yeah, but where do
like
we...
You started seeing, like, he started putting them in prisoners, and I'm like, oh, here it goes. Like,
well, that's what I thought, too. But then, like, in the original Planet of the Apes, the humans don't talk. Like, they're, like, they're... It's, like, reverse, basically. Like, they're the monkeys.
A thousand years, though, and it's really common for them to just be, like, we're taking these people that spoke this language with those people that spoke that language, putting them together, and they're just, like...
I just think that's the one trick they're going to have is trying to explain how we lose language.
I bet that's going to happen in the third movie. I bet they will invent a way that it's not so much that they lose language, but humans are stupid. Like, humans are very, very dumb animals in the original Planet of the Apes. I think there'll be something, whether, like, they make a weapon to wipe out the apes and it backfires.
I think
they will address that in the third film.
It could be something as simple as this. They could just take the children away and just never teach them.
Well, could also be selective breeding in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Of like, we're only going to breed the dumbest ones every time so we don't have rebellion. And the smart humans will die out over the centuries.
Yeah, even if they just put a bunch of the humans in chains or whatever and then just forbid them from teaching the kids.
Yeah.
And that would do it over generations.
Yeah, you think 10 generations of... Getting dumber and dumber and dumber. It's because
not even dumber. I think just not teaching.
When two dumb people mate, and they'll have a dumb kid.
Sure. I agree to that, but I'm just saying you just do three generations or whatever of not allowing people to teach language or pass that down.
Let's be honest. Let's look at some of the people nowadays. It's just like
some of them can't read.
Some of them could be easily turned into slaves. Real quick, the scariest moment for me is when Malcolm goes by himself to get Caesar, and he turns around and he sees that huge gorilla.
The silverback.
I love that moment.
I freaked out because I would have shit myself right then and there.
Because you're just like, from his point of view or from like our point of view, like we know if any one of us at any point found a wild fucking silverback gorilla in the wilderness, you're dead in seconds. That thing will tear you
apart. Unless from Amy from Congo shows up, it is game over, man.
That was not Amy from Congo.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, it's such a great visual because it's just like, this guy's going to get torn to pieces.
Well, and that's my problems with the third act. And I understand why they did it, so it doesn't really break it for me. But like a moment like that feels so realistic. And both of these movies were much, much more realistic than any of the original ones, including Tim Burton, that when they start getting to the crazy, like they start to do the Animal Farm plot and Gary Oldman's like, I'm blowing myself up. And, you know, and they're fighting on a tower that's rocking back and forth. And Cobra's just machine gunning every gorilla. We've gotten so big that I think it's what I call the Training Day problem is, if you've seen Training Day, the Denzel Washington movie. That movie is so realistic until the third act, and then it just goes kablam.
Because King Kong has nothing on him.
Yeah, it just gets so big. It gets so big that it actually breaks the tone of the film it's already set up.
Yeah.
This one does it, but it does it in a way and to a point where I can forgive it. But it is a problem for me. Like, I love this movie. I said it in the beginning of the show. But it would have been, like, my favorite movie had it been that consistent all the way through.
So in the James Franco one, he gets like they give that super serum or whatever, the smart serum to a bunch of the monkeys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then those monkeys have kids, and that's how they keep the monkeys all being smart.
Well, they killed off most of the monkeys that got it. But remember when Caesar breaks back into the preserve, and Dave, I know you haven't seen this, he brings the canisters. He brings canisters of that vaccine, and he lets them loose in the whole preserve. So all of the monkeys in that preserve get smart, and the gorilla and Koba and the orangutan are all in Rise.
Yeah.
So
Koba in the original and Rise?
I believe I'd have to watch it again just to make sure that the design. But I believe Koba's the one that tries to start a fight with Caesar when he's first put in the pen, and then Caesar stands up to him, and Koba starts to follow him. So I believe those three apes are all carried through. And we see that Caesar has two sons.
Yeah.
So he's breeding.
That's what I'm saying. So the smart monkeys who are exposed to this chemical are breeding, and that's carrying the smart genes.
Now it's genetic because it's reshaping their DNA. So they're passing it along.
I always felt that like when you look at the gorillas or the apes' eyes, like they look more humanistic.
Mm-hmm. I think,
because like usually just from my experience in biology and working at the zoo, the gorillas don't really have much pigmentation.
It's all dark eyes, and I think
that's why that's a moment in Rise.
Remember, it turns the irises green. There's like a little bit of green in there, and there's a scene. You really need to see Rise, Dave. There's a scene where
not after this podcast,
after he gasses all of them, they're coming through like the catwalk, and Caesar stops each one and he looks at them and he sees if they have the green in their eyes, and if he does, he nods and lets them through.
I don't remember that.
Do they kill them?
You know. Every one of them had.
I think that was just the way of showing, like, look at her all smart.
He was checking to see that it had had an effect. I actually just watched Rise again. When we all went to see X-Men, they showed the trailer for Dawn. My friend who was with us hadn't seen Rise, and I got really excited by the trailer, and he's like, well, I don't know. And I was like, have you seen Rise? And then we ended up watching it the next day. So I've seen it recently, but I hadn't seen it probably since it came out. But yeah, I mean, you can see all the seeds in these two movies heading us for that original movie, which, to be fair, is the only original movie you need to see. They get crappy immediately.
The guy who played Gollum plays the monkeys, right?
Let's talk about Andy Serkis. I have never seen that level of acting.
Does he do the voices
character.
Too?
Yeah.
So he played just Caesar, and maybe he did like stunt work for some of the other ones.
They have other actors.
They had other actors. They're all in motion capture suits with the balls on them.
Yeah.
Kind of like they did Tintin.
Sure.
But, you know, he was so good in this. Like, you could see him playing the subtext in a scene with his body language and his eyes. That I actually, yesterday, I put on The Hobbit and watched just the Gollum scene again, because I was thinking, wow, the Gollum scene is so much more sophisticated
in the CGs
than anything in Lord of the Rings, because the technology's caught up. And I'm like, let's see what Planet of the Apes looks like 2 years later. And it's stunning, because Gollum is still great, but he's playing it really broad. He's doing big movements. He's doing big facial expressions. And there's a lot of stuff in Dawn that Serkis does that's really subtle.
It's really amazing, to the point where, like, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, I am so much more intrigued in the ape story than the human because of that. And to me, it feels like, you know how in Hollywood they always go, like, this guy has the looks of a movie star, this guy doesn't. What I'm excited about it with these motion capture suits is, like, they could give those people that aren't like camera friendly, like the chance to like get in a movie and like a CG movie and get to show like their real performance.
I would argue that Andy Serkis is not very camera friendly.
Well, he's not a great looking guy. But look, he's a phenomenal, great actor.
Yeah.
And I feel like we would have never been able to see how good of an actor he is if he wasn't like CG'd as what's it called? Gollum, or as Caesar.
Or as King Kong in Peter Jackson's King Kong, which I hate, but that's him learning how to do a gorilla.
Did he play Caesar in the first Planet of the Apes, too?
Yes, he does.
And then, now, do you think that's something where it's like, you know, it's an action movie, so it probably won't happen, but will he get maybe nominated for, like, that be best supporting?
They've been trying to push for him
ever since Gollum, because he's doing this thing that no one else can do. But because no one else does it, they don't quite understand it. So they're saying, well, maybe it's not fair to put him as best actor. Should we create a category where we also put in voiceover actors? They don't know how to handle it, because it's what he's done is invent a new style of acting.
Because in Avatar, Zoe
Saldana.
I remember the big conversation, like, people were talking, like, we should nominate her for an Oscar.
Yeah, in Figure 2.
Yeah, because Vin she's Diesel only CG is, under, like, Sam Worthington, who does both CG and live action in that movie.
Yeah, it's like Vin Diesel's going to be Groot, and it's the same thing. Mark Ruffalo as Hulk. It's like, there's a lot more of these, like, CG
And Vin
characters.
Diesel is motion capture, right? He's not just a voice.
No, he's motion capture.
Yeah, he was specifically walking on
stage. Yeah. Is Bradley Cooper motion capture?
No, that's all
CG. He's just
voiceover.
That's
all CG, I think, because it's just, like, it's been more
But I remember when they brought that up, they just wanted him to do voice acting. He's like, no, you got to get me in there. Like, let me be in there.
Yeah, I know he pushed for it.
Yeah, because he was on, like, these giant stilts walking around, so he had the right height for it. And then they gave him, like, these, like, green extending arms, so his arms were longer. And
do you know if he didn't do motion capture, how boring that job would be? He's like, you have one line. Let's do it 40 times. Yeah. I am Groot.
Well, that's what's interesting. But we'll talk about that movie comes out, and we'll really see, I guess, is, like, you know, because he's supposed to be saying different things, but he only says the one line, obviously.
But it's in every inflection.
Right, it's all the inflections he'll do. So it's like, he probably has, I'd be surprised if they didn't have this subtext in his script for what Groot is supposed to be saying.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, you're supposed to be saying, hey guys, what kind of plan do we have? And then you say it like, I am Groot. Like, you have to figure out a way to say it, you know, in an interesting way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We saw the extended trailer of Guardians of the Galaxy right before.
Did you see 17 minutes of it? Or just
no, but only the new trailer.
It was a new trailer, but there was a lot of new footage.
I mean, they are just showing us the whole goddamn movie with that. I hate that when they're just like,
I'm still
just
into
give
it.
Us one trailer. Oh, I'm excited.
We're so
but it's
close
like,
to it.
They're showing everything. It's like, come on, like save something for the movie.
Well, you never know. They might have. We don't know until we've seen that movie.
That's true.
Did you guys see? I posted this on the Caffeinated Comics Facebook page, which we can all look at. Did you see somebody edited the Star Wars trilogy into a Guardians of the Galaxy?
That was really great.
It was great.
Yeah. So many people on the internet are so clever.
Yeah, and have time. I mean, I'm amazed we have time for this.
We fit it in.
But, so I think we're all agreed that we all really enjoyed this. Yeah,
I give it a B minus movie.
Sure, I'd give it somewhere around
B
there.
B for banana.
I think it's something where it's just like if they make a sequel,
I would go higher
I'd be interested
than B
in seeing like the next one.
I would go A minus.
You go A?
Yeah, I mentioned every problem I have with it, and they're not major, major problems.
It's really sad, like, the fact that, like, war is just inevitable. Like, in any species whatsoever, there's going to be war.
Yeah. And that was kind of the lesson that Caesar took, was he says, I thought that ape was better than human, and now I realize they're just like humans. There's good ones and bad ones.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I feel about it the same way I feel about Rise, although this is a bigger movie. I feel like we've gone from Batman Begins to Dark Knight, where, like, now we're becoming... Now it's an epic. The first... Rise is kind of a smaller... It's almost a drama other than the third act.
Right.
But, no, I really enjoyed it. I'm sure there'll be a third, and I will go to see it.
Yeah, and I think the budget will be bigger for the third. And like you said, the first one had a budget, then the second one had a bigger budget because there's bigger war scenes. Now we're going to get like the big like Lord of the Rings-style ape war thing that
The question is, will it be a Return of the King, or will it be a Dark Knight Rises? Or will it be a Matrix 3?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Could go any way.
Yeah.
Crystal Skull?
Ugh.
That's the fourth. Huh. And those were anthologized. Well, as always, you can follow me and none of my book. That's the only Twitter feed for Caffeinated Comics. Thanks for everybody who is following me. The Facebook page, we're posting pretty much every day on the Facebook page, and I know kind of all of us in this room are posting to the page.
Except me.
You've posted.
Have I?
Well, maybe not recently.
Not recently, I don't think.
Right. Where can they find you, Stephen Brown?
I'm at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois. Chimera's Comics.
Where can they find you, Dave Redfield?
On the internet or in real life. David_Redfield.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.